In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, church. It is a privilege to be with you today. My name is Anne Ratonia, and I serve as the Bishop of the Armed Forces and Federal Ministries for the Episcopal Church. It's a ministry that carries the church's pastoral care and sacramental life to military personnel and their families, to veterans, federal employees, prisoners in our Federal Bureau of Prisons, and many whose public service is demanding and often unseen. We even have chaplains in our intelligence services, but that's a secret. Well, this work is very personal for me, because before I was ordained a priest, I served for 17 years in the United States Marine Corps. Hurrah for you Marines out there. So I know a little something of the discipline, sacrifice, burden, and bonds that come with military service. And I know that those who appear strong on the outside can still carry deep weariness within. And I think that is why Jesus' invitation today speaks to us so powerfully. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I don't know about you, but after this weekend's celebrations, Fleet Week, fireworks, the Navy and Coast Guard presence, and the 250th anniversary of our nation's independence, I'm more than a little tired. But this also invites us to reflect on our freedoms, as well as what it means to be a citizen of this great nation, and the deeper freedom that Christ offers to the soul. For 2.5 centuries, this nation has told the story of freedom, freedom declared, freedom defended, expanded, and still unfolding. And so it's right to celebrate with gratitude, especially among those who have served and sacrificed for this country. But it's also faithful to speak honestly about the promises of freedom that have not been experienced equally by all, and to speak about fear and inequality and injustice that still burdens our common life. So our celebration then becomes more than memory. It becomes a commitment to help this democracy bear better fruit in the years to come. And so in this honest mixture of gratitude and longing, celebration and unfinished hope, Jesus speaks. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. And that's the promise of freedom, but not the kind that the world expects. You see, friends, for followers of Jesus, freedom does not begin with earthly citizenship. Our first belonging is in the kingdom of God, and every other loyalty is shaped, judged, and redeemed by that deeper allegiance. And so as flags and fireworks fade, the gospel asks us today, what kind of freedom are we seeking? And whose kingdom is forming our lives? Well, that question came into focus for me recently, not in a committee meeting or on a webinar, but on a dance floor at a wedding. Last weekend, I presided at a wedding of my former music minister in New Jersey, and it was beautiful. The bride and groom were beaming, the food was overflowing, and the dance floor was full. But then I noticed one husband sitting firmly at his table with his wife. She stood beside him. His arms were crossed, and her hand was extended, inviting him to dance. And she tried everything as I was watching her. There were slow songs, there were fast songs, playful coaxing. And she smiled and laughed and tugged gently at his hand, but he would not move. Are any of you guilty of that? But finally, she stepped away, and she found a little girl who was more than happy to join her. And there he sat, watching from the edge of the room, missing the joy that was offered to him. And I thought of Jesus' words, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." You see, Jesus was describing a generation that refused the invitation, no matter how it came. John came with discipline. John is rejected. Jesus comes with joy. He is rejected. The problem is not the music. The problem is the refusal to dance. And we do the same. Whenever we stay on the edge of life that God offers, calling it caution, independence, or even freedom, when I think what we're really clinging to is control. Somewhere along the way, many of us have learned to mistake control in getting our own way for freedom. We want the music on our own terms, the timing on our own terms, even God on our own terms. And when control becomes our version of freedom, we begin to confuse getting our way with the common good. We may call it leadership, conviction, or strength. But when power is used to force, to silence, to dominate, or bend others to our will, freedom has become another burden. That kind of freedom doesn't bring peace. It brings fear and resentment and frustration. And the more tightly we try to control life, people, or outcomes, the heavier those burdens become. Control might promise relief, but it leaves us like children in the marketplace, finding fault with everything and satisfaction in nothing. But Jesus names the truth that we already know, that we are weary in carrying heavy burdens, and those burdens are real. Expectations we cannot meet, pressure to succeed and prove ourselves, guilt we carry, grief we cannot resolve, a world that demands more, faster, better, always. And even faith can become a burden when it becomes performance instead of relationship. We live as though we cannot stop because everything depends on us. And so we keep striving, producing, proving, and carrying more than we were ever meant to bear. But Jesus doesn't say, fix yourself. He doesn't say, work harder. He doesn't say, earn it. He says, come to me. Freedom in Christ is not a system to master. It's a relationship to receive. It's the freedom to stop pretending we are fine and bring our weariness honestly to God in prayer. It is the freedom to ask for forgiveness and to forgive instead of being chained to resentment and divisiveness. It's the freedom to rest without believing our worth depends on what we do. And it's the freedom to say no. No to what destroys life, and yes to what deepens love. And this freedom is often hidden from the self-sufficient and revealed to those who come open-handed, like children. Like that little girl at the wedding who didn't analyze the invitation or whether she would look foolish. She simply took the hand of that woman and she joined the dance. In our gospel, Jesus says something rather surprising as well. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, I don't know about you, but a yoke does not sound like freedom. But not all yokes are the same. The world can place a yoke of striving, comparison, outrage, and endless demand. And all it delivers is exhaustion. But Christ offers a different yoke, a shared yoke, because he carries it with us, a gracious yoke, because it's not driven by fear, it's life-giving, because it aligns us with love. And I have seen this kind of yoke, this kind of freedom, in military and VA communities. You know, many who have worn the uniform and still wear it, and thank you for all of you that are here today and for your service. You are trained to endure, to press through, to complete the mission, and not to become a burden to anyone else. And those instincts, yes, they can be very honorable, and they're even necessary in service. But over time, they can also become a heavy yoke. The belief that you must carry grief alone, manage memories alone, protect family from your pain, never ask for help. But our military and VA and all our chaplains know this sacred ground very well because they offer space, care, and a steady presence where freedom can begin, often quietly, when someone finally says to a chaplain or a counselor or a commander, "I'm tired. I cannot carry this by myself anymore." And please know, friends, that this is not failure. This is pure grace. This is the beginning of Christ's lighter yoke. So then freedom is not the absence of every obligation. Freedom is being bound to the one who gives life. It's learning to follow Jesus in ordinary ways, telling the truth when silence would certainly be easier, choosing mercy when anger feels justified, asking for help when pride wants to hide, and pausing to pray before reacting. This is always a good one for me. And trusting that we don't have to control everything for God to be faithful. And this is Christ's promise. You will find rest for your souls. And not just relief, but deep rest. The rest of not having to prove yourselves, the rest of not carrying everything alone, and the rest of being held in God's grace, knowing that you are always, no matter what, God's beloved. And even when we hesitate and when we stand at the edge of that dance floor, Christ does not withdraw the invitation. He comes towards us, hand extended, patient, ready to lead. And so on this weekend, after our nation's 250th birthday, we give thanks for civic freedom and for all who have labored and suffered and sacrificed for it. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we also remember that even the best earthly freedom cannot rest until it's fully found within the soul. And so our first citizenship is in the kingdom of God, and Christ alone teaches us how to live free. The world says, "Carry it yourself." Jesus says, "Come to me." The world says, "Stay in control." Jesus says, "Trust me." The world piles on burdens, and Jesus lifts them. And so the invitation remains. Step onto the dance floor. Take his hand. Let him lead. Because in Christ, you are not losing your freedom. You are finally learning how to dance.